but Aunt doesn't seem to be hearing me.
You didn't tell us you knew Aiden, Pumpkin.
Uncle says in a more cheerful tone.
It's my fault.
Aiden faces my uncle with the most sincere, solemn expression I have seen on him. Even his accent becomes posher.
Due to your company's contract with my father's company, Elsa was worried about implicating our parents. I respect her wishes, but I also want to show her off as my girl.
Elsa? My girl? Am I in a freaking nightmare right now? I want to shove his perfect face in a sink full of water and hold him there until no more breaths come out. My chest squeezes at the image. It's so familiar and disturbing. My widened eyes snap back to Aiden. Subconsciously, people are ashamed about lying, and their brains express that in the form of tells. A rub of the nape, a twitch of the eye, a twist of the lips. Not Aiden. He feels none of that shame, and therefore, his lies come out in a smooth, intricate web. If the relaxation of Uncle's shoulders is any sign, he believes him.
Is that true?
Aunt Blair faces me, still gripping the orange juice glass tight. Hits. My hands ball into fists in my lap. But before I can continue, Aiden is by my side. He touches my cheek with his knuckles, and they heat like a pit of flames. Damn him. How can he touch me in front of Aunt and Uncle?
See? I told you not to worry last night. Didn't you say Mr. and Mrs. Quinn are open-minded and will always back your decisions?
He places a subtle hand on my shoulder as he turns his attention to Aunt and Uncle.
I heard a lot about your work ethics from my father. I'm happy to find out that your familial ethics are just as excellent.
Knockout. Complete knockout. I don't even have a case anymore. Aiden didn't only make them think that our relationship is in the closet because I respected and loved them, but he also brought up their work. Their God. The reason both of them breathe. Even I don't compare. Quinn Engineering is their biological child, and I'm the adopted child. They love me, but I'll always come second. How did Aiden know that? How far did he dig to come up with this bit of information? Uncle's easy smile makes an appearance.
Mr. King talks about us. All the time, sir. Your recent project had been the talk of the last BOD's meeting. King Enterprises can only move forward with strong assets like Quinn Engineering. Some would argue that small companies mean nothing in the great scheme of things, but it's small companies that fuel the production and build the pyramid to the top. King Enterprises was also a small company at one point.
Perfect posh accent. Perfect manners. Perfect everything.
Indeed, son.
Uncle's chest puffs.
King Enterprises has a bright future with you as an heir.
He's calling him son. Fucking son. But then again, it shouldn't be a surprise that Uncle is impressed. He always loathed how big companies look down their noses at smaller ones. But here is an heir of the biggest company of all, telling him exactly what he believes in.
I can only try, sir. I'm only at the beginning of the path, but I hope to work as hard as you and everyone else.
I know the rehearsed words that he must have said 1,000 times before. But with the sincerity mask he's wearing, even I am close to being fooled. Aiden is a parasite. No, he's the devil who can flow into someone's bloodstream and tell him exactly what he likes to hear without appearing sleazy or an obvious manipulator. But before you know it, he'd be telling you what to do and how to do it. By then, you'd have no control over your actions.
You didn't have to hide it from us, Pumpkin.
Uncle beams at me, already under Aiden's spell.
We're not that strict with you, are we?
If I begin screaming right now that Aiden is lying and that we should burn and bury his corpse in the back garden, Aunt and Uncle will probably take me back to Dr. Conn and ask him to admit me to that hospital I hated when I was a kid. That's because Elsie never had a boyfriend. Aunt is softening too. But unlike Uncle, something is holding her back. Aiden raises one perfect eyebrow at the needless information Aunt just shared. His lips move in a tiny smirk, only meant for me, as he squeezes my shoulder hard. I suppress a wince. He quickly masks his sadism to resume his perfect disguise.
I'm honored to be her first.
Aunt touches her collarbone, a habit she does whenever she's uncertain. We'll talk about this, Elsa. For now, you should go to school. She packs my sandwich in a container and places it in my backpack.
Come on.
Aiden clutches me by the arm like a doting boyfriend.
We'll be late.
While I'm thinking about ways to get away with murder, Aiden offers Aunt and Uncle his golden boy smile.
It was nice to finally meet you, Mr. and Mrs. Quinn. Please, call us Jackson and Blair, son.
Uncle glances at me.
Make sure to bring him over.
Over my dead body.
I'll certainly visit.
One more blinding smile.
Elsa tells me you're an Arsenal fan. Why, indeed, a gunner at heart. Me too. In fact, it runs in the family. My cousin, Levi King, plays for the team. The president is my father's old friend. If you want to attend a game, let me know and I'll get you a special pass.
Uncle might as well have been starstruck.
That would be brilliant. Go Gunners! Go Gunners!
Aiden fist bumps him. Uncle is the one to usher us out. I'm contemplating running upstairs to my room, hit rewind and pretend this morning never happened. Or better yet, I'll wait for Aiden at the door with an axe. He parked his car in front of the house. A bright red Ferrari. Of course. An asshole like him would drive a fast Italian car. Aunt remains at the threshold of the house. Her folded arms and unreadable expression are the complete opposite of Uncle's enthusiasm. Aiden guides me to the passenger seat with his hand on the small of my back. I try not to squirm in the black leather seats and hold my backpack close to my chest like a shield. Once we are seated, Aiden throws one last pleasantry at Uncle before he hits the button. The engine's strong vibrations startle me, and I grip the backpack tighter. The car revs in the wide streets. I suppress a gasp at the strength of this thing. I can't even help clenching my thighs together.
You like the power, sweetheart.
Aiden watches me intently as I fight the strange rush of excitement. All the thrill fades away when I recall that I'm riding with the devil. Pull over.
We're not there yet.
I face him with an incredulous look. You really think I'd let you drive me to school?
I told you yesterday that you'd regret ignoring me.
You honestly believe I would reply to your crude texts? He lifts a shoulder.
But for future reference, I dislike being ignored.
I don't care about what you dislike, Aiden. My voice rises. The stunt he just pulled and Aunt's disappointed face makes me sick to my stomach.
You should, or...
He reaches over and clutches my hand in his.
I will continue dropping in unannounced and make your adoptive parents fall in love with me.
He lifts my hand to his lips and brushes a kiss to my knuckles. To an outsider, the gesture would look gentle, almost chaste. But this is Aiden fucking King. The malice in his eyes twists me in knots.
The look on your face when I stepped into your house was priceless, sweetheart. I should have caught it on camera.
I jerk my hand free. My automatic reaction would be to scream and make him drop me off. But things don't roll that way with Aiden. He gets off on anger and strong emotions. Since I'm almost sure he's a psycho, and therefore lacks feelings, he uses them to antagonize others. If I give in to his trap, I'll never find a way out. I just saw firsthand how he manipulated Aunt and Uncle, who've known me for my entire life, into thinking I was hiding a love affair from them. The only way to escape his intricate manipulation web is to be level-headed. I square my shoulders as I face him. My voice is calm. I don't know what your obsession is with me, but it's not going to work. He squints an eye.
Let me worry about that, sweetheart.
I'm not your sweetheart, Aiden. I'm just a girl, you bully, and I hate to say this, but I prefer the days you had your minions bully me over this unwanted attention. I don't want you anywhere near me or my family. It's one more year and everyone will go their own way. So let's pretend these last couple of days never happened.
Pretending was never my thing.
Oh, please. You just pulled off a Broadway-level performance about how much you care about me, when we both know you don't.
I do care about you, sweetheart. Maybe not in the conventional term, but I never stopped caring about you. It's becoming tiresome and fucking irritating.
His dark eyes shoot a path into my soul.
The time has come to do something about it.
Chapter 13. The time has come to do something about it. The car ride has been silent since Aiden said those words. I'm at a loss for words. Trying to find a crack in Aiden's wall is like hitting thick steel. It's hard, painful, and maddening. As the car cuts the distance with high speed, a crazy idea barges into my head. Maybe I've been using the wrong method to find that crack. Not only does strength have the opposite effect on Aiden, but he's also getting the upper hand whenever I display it. If I try to be logical and push all my prejudice aside, the crack might be as simple as me. Aiden King never shows interest in anyone except for his horsemen and football. Unlike Xander and Ronan, he doesn't have girls hanging onto his arm, and it's not from the lack of trying. He seems to tune girls out, aside from Silver. I don't know what's his story with her, but she's the only girl that gets to ride in his Ferrari. What? It's not my fault who I see when Kim and I go home. Anyway, even with Silver, he usually has a nonchalant behavior and his infuriating poker face. The fact that he's directing all his energy towards me is disturbing. But if I see past the surface and my discomfort, his interest in me might as well be the only chip in his armor that he allows the world, or at least me, to see. I can use that. I can pretend to be his toy so I could disarm and then crush him. Now I have to decide if I'm strong enough to play his games in order to escape him. Considering how easily he figures out when I manipulate him, it'd be nearly impossible to fool him. It's a challenge to ride with him in the same car, let alone to fake I have a genuine interest in him. But then again, one can't play with the devil in his hell and pray not to burn. Aiden is a deviant, a dangerous deviant. And deep down, I do have some interest in the way he's wired. If he was in one of the Chinese war books I love, Aiden would be the tactic no general can predict. I want to know why he's been keeping his distance for 2 years, letting his minions treat me like shit, but now decides he'll get close. I feel like I'll never find peace unless I unveil the truth. You're still avoiding the truth about your parents. Where's your peace in that, hypocrite? The car rolls to a stop in front of an antique-looking coffee shop. I blink, coming out of my haze. I glance at the secluded location. Although it has an ancient feel, the coffee shop isn't on the main street. Only a few houses are nearby. This isn't a poor neighborhood, per se, but it isn't high-end either. Why have we stopped here? I face Aiden, but he's already out of the car. He reaches my side and opens the door. I gawk at him. Did he just open the door for me? Did devils do that? Wait. Maybe he has a storage house around the corner to which he lures his victims and kills them in cold blood before he dissolves them with acid.
Are you going to sit there all day?
He raises an eyebrow.
Would you rather I carry you inside, sweetheart?
We have school.
If you checked the school's website, you would have seen the notice that Mr. Bentley will be absent today.
I fish for my phone in my jacket's pocket. Sure enough, on the student's portal, it's announced that our first class is cancelled. I stare up at him. You tricked me.
Did I?
You knew we don't have class, but you ushered me out as if we'd be late.
We were going to be late.
For what?
You didn't have breakfast, so I'm buying you.
What makes you think I want to go anywhere with you? His poker face slips, and the chilling, cold void takes its place.
I could have kidnapped you to a place where no one would find you. I'm being nice here, Frozen. I'm giving you a choice to have breakfast with me in a place full of people so you're more comfortable.
I finger the strap of my backpack with sweaty fingers. Although fear is locking my shoulder blades, I can now see past it to what Aiden is actually saying. Kidnapping me is his first choice and nature. He wants to rob me of my will. He wants the thrill of seeing me at his mercy. However, he's forcing himself to make me comfortable. Why? I know for certain that he doesn't care about the moral line or my comfort. This must be another game. Another mindfuck. You realize that this isn't a choice, right? I ask.
How so?
A choice is supposed to lead in different directions. Yours only leads back to you. A wolfish grin breaks on his stupidly handsome face.
It only leads back to me, huh?
God. His way of repeating my words is infuriating and makes me want to slap him. I swallow the urge down because now I realize it's his way to get a rise out of me. You're manipulating me, Aiden. I lift my chin. I don't like it when people manipulate me.
I'm manipulating you, huh?
He leans over, blocking the hint of the sun and the entire world with his frame. His voice drops to a whisper.
How does it feel to be manipulated, sweetheart?
I swallow against the warmth rising up my throat. He can do it 1,000 times, and I still wouldn't get used to being this close to him. His fresh scent, his tousled jet black hair, the small mole at the corner of his eye. I find myself staring at that longer than I'd like to admit. Winning a staring competition with Aiden has always been impossible. The bottom of my stomach always does this stupid shit as if something is slicing, cutting, and ripping it open from the inside. Hate. This must be how extreme hate feels like. It consumes and destroys you from the inside like a stage 5 cancer. He pulls back as fast as he leaned down. I release a breath I didn't realize I was holding.
Kidnapping or breakfast in a coffee shop?
He deadpans.
What's your move?
No. It's his move. Even when he provides options, he makes sure the outcome works in his favor. This level of cunning can belong to the criminally insane. But Aiden isn't just insane. He's highly intelligent, and he knows it. Hell. He's so assertive about it that it's disturbing. If he weren't wealthy and young, what type of monster would he be? Probably the century's most notorious serial killer. I hold my backpack to my chest like a shield and step out of the car. If I'm starting my dance with the devil, I might as well do it now. Aiden offers me his golden boy smile as he locks his car. I hate that smile. It's the fake one he gives to everyone else. I already had a glimpse of what he truly is, so he might as well stop the pretense around me. Judging from the granite walls and the ancient feel the outside gives, I expected the coffee shop to be antique. My expectations are smashed when we step inside. The walls are covered in a pastel green wallpaper, and the tables are in a smooth brownish color. A few black and white motivational quotes hang from the ceilings. The decor is soothing, and the atmosphere is cozy, to say the least. A few patrons are scattered about, but Aiden doesn't take any of the available tables. He places a hand at the small of my back. A weird awareness coils beneath my skin, and I flinch at the contact. He guides me up hidden stairs with pastel green and white steps. There's only a man facing the huge glass window. He appears in his mid-40s, wears a crisp white shirt, and reads from a newspaper while sipping from his coffee. Aiden leads me to one of the tables with a cushion. I slide inside, expecting Aiden to sit across from me. And surprise, he doesn't meet expectations. He plants himself right beside me. The distance between us is so minuscule, I can feel his body heat and smell his clean, toxic scent. Damn his scent. I purse my lips against the protest, itching to be set free. If I tell him to change positions, he'll do the exact opposite. Hell, he'll go above and beyond to make my skin crawl. He places his elbow on the table and leans his head against his palm as he watches me with a smirk. What? I snap.
You're so expressive. It's adorable.
And you're not.
I can live with not being adorable.
I meant you're not expressive. The star image doesn't count. I know it's a mask.
You know it's a mask, huh?
Would you stop repeating what I say?
Do you know how euphoric it feels to get under your skin frozen?
How the hell would I know that?
Exactly.
He chuckles, reaching a hand to pinch my cheek.
You should see how red these get. Do I affect you that much?
I wiggle away from his touch. More like you infuriate me.
You can lie to me all you want, sweetheart, but do you think it's a good idea to lie to yourself?
Maybe we all lie to ourselves. I mirror his gesture and lean on my palm. It's a way to disarm him, make him believe that he's getting to me. You, too, have a mask all the time.
A mask, huh?
What? You'll deny that you show the world a calculated image of who you want them to believe you are.
It comes with the family name.
He winks.
I can't be a sobbing, emotional mess if I'm going to be a leader.
I focus on him. Like, really focus on him. Not the asshole Aiden, the school's king, or elite's ace striker, but the other Aiden. The Aiden King, heir to King Enterprises. If he's so mature at this age, and knows exactly how to behave and what to do for his leadership position, he must have had a lot of pressure growing up. Sociopaths are made. My spine jerks at the idea. Was he abused? Not that it excuses what he did and continues to do to me, but that could put some pieces of the puzzle together. I take a sip from the water. Was your father hard on you?
I wasn't abused by either of my parents, if that's what you're thinking about.
Damn. I wasn't smooth enough in bringing out my assumptions. There's no helping it now that it's out in the open. If it wasn't your father, then were you abused by someone else? He stares at me. Hard. The energy radiating off him becomes foggy and suffocating. If his eyes were his hands, he would have choked the life out of me by now. A waitress stands at our table, interrupting the moment. Mineral water, please, I say.
Boiled eggs, bacon, large protein shake.
Aiden lists without looking at the menu.
And a vegetarian breakfast menu with zero fatty acids.
My lips part. I was going to ask if they have any non-fatty acid breakfast menus, since most restaurants don't. The waitress scribbles our orders, nods, and leaves. I face Aiden. How did you know that I only eat that type of food?
Your aunt was packing a vegetarian lunch, and there was a special brand of biscuits with no fatty acid on your breakfast table.
He glances at me.
Besides, you only eat your lunch boxes at school.
You've been watching me at school. He ignores my question and tilts his head.
Why don't you ask the cafeteria for your type of food?
I shrug. I don't like eating at the cafeteria.
Why not?
It's where the bullying gets worse. He hums, as if he never thought about that. Dickhead. My fingers play with the straws on the table. Why did you really bring me here, Aiden? He grins.
I told you. Breakfast.
You want me to believe that you don't have an ulterior motive?
I only want to feed you.
He pinches my right cheek.
Stop overthinking.
I pull away from his touch. It's kind of hard when you were my bully for years. If he thinks I'll ignore the elephant in the room, then he has another thing coming.
I did nothing to you, Frozen.
Do you seriously believe that?
Believe what?
That you did nothing. My voice raises. You signed my death certificate that first day. You must have known they'd target me.
And why would I know that?
The entire freaking school bows down to you. Did you honestly think they'd leave me in peace after you so eloquently announced that you'd destroy me? He grins with that sadistic edge.
It's not my fault I'm so loved.
You're not even sorry for it, are you?
No.
Something squeezes in my chest. I don't know why I thought he'd show a bit of remorse. There's no remorse in an unfeeling monster. I stand and throw the napkin at his chest. Thank you for the clarifications. Have a shitty day. He clutches my wrist and pulls me down so fast, so hard, I yelp as I fall back down on something warm. His lap. I'm sitting on his lap. My heartbeat picks up at being this close. So close that we breathe the same air. So close that I feel every ripple in his strong, hard thighs underneath me. So close that I can almost hear the pulse in my ears. His face is a few inches away from mine that our noses nearly touch. His arm wraps around my waist in a steely, almost painful hold, and his eyes zero in on my lips as he speaks.
Did I say you can leave?
It takes everything in me to ignore his proximity. I concentrate on his face despite the urge to look at his lips. I'm trying to understand, Aiden. I really am, but it's impossible. You made my life hell for 2 years, and now you want to get close to me without so much as an apology? Do you think I'll forget about all that torment just because of your majesty's presence? He continues feasting on my lips with his gaze.
Do you think you have a choice, sweetheart?
Every time I look at you, I remember when I was locked in the showers for 5 hours until Kim found me. I remember someone stealing my track clothes and feigning a headache to not practice that day. I remember being tripped in the cafeteria the first day I stepped in there and having pasta and juice all over my clothes, face, and hair. I remember being called a teacher slut and accused of sleeping with them. I remember being hated for being me. I'm panting after my outburst, my heart almost leaping out of my throat. I never thought there'd be a day I'd give Aiden a piece of my mind.
I'm sorry.
He doesn't even miss a beat. You don't mean that. His nonchalant fake apology hurts more than the lack of it.
You said you wanted an apology. Not that I should mean it. Besides.
His fingers skim down my throat and to my pulse point before he wraps his hand around my neck. The gesture is gentle, almost caring if it weren't for the immediate danger of suffocation like the other time.
You wronged me first.
What? The waitress returns with our orders. She stands a small distance away, watching us with unfazed attention. I scramble away from Aiden's lap, my cheeks flaring. Aiden lets me go with a smirk. For God's sake, can't he see we're in our school uniforms? There's a rule somewhere about not sullying Reza's top-notch reputation. After the waitress leaves, I dig into the low-carb muffins and tomato omelette. I've been starving since the morning. If he's buying, I'm eating. Food has nothing to do with my animosity with the devil. Said devil doesn't touch his food and watches me silently like a creep. I lift my head and give him a questioning look. He removes his jacket, places it on the edge of the chair, and rolls the cuff of his shirt to near his elbows, revealing strong, veiny arms and tattoos. He has tattoos at the underside of his forearm. It's a simple 2 black arrows pointing in opposing directions. I lean closer to watch the direction of the tattoos. That's when I notice it. Near his elbow, there's a faded scar at which one of the arrows points. His movements are meticulous as he cuts his eggs and takes a bite. I motion at the tattoo. Is there a meaning? His dark eyes meet mine, and I'm transfixed by their depth. It's like someone pushed him into an impenetrable fog, and he's unable to get out.
Some scars are better left hidden.
Like what? I ask slowly.
Like your scar. You hide it so well, don't you, Frozen?
I stab at my omelette and cut eye contact.
Ah, so you like talking about me, but when the subject turns to Little Miss Frozen, it becomes a red line. Do you realize how double standard that is?
Stop twisting everything to fit you.
The answer is no.
Do you get off on it?
On what?
On being this infuriatingly in control?
Perhaps.
My lips twist. Has there ever been something out of your control before?
Twice.
He hums.
And you're the third.
I pause, drinking from my orange juice, my voice slow. How?
Be mine.
I choke on my juice, droplets splattering from my nose and all over the table. Aiden chuckles, offering me a napkin.
Jesus, I didn't ask for your firstborn.
This is worse. I stare at him as I wipe the mess on my face. You're not serious, are you?
Have I ever joked with you?
You know that my answer will be no, right?
No is a start, sweetheart.
I gulp.
Besides,
he places a hand on my thigh, his fingers trailing up.
Your mouth is a liar. I'm taking my answer from something that doesn't lie.
Chapter 14. Aiden's body pushes into mine. It's subtle, as if he's just leaning in to tell me a secret. But there's nothing secretive about the way he's gripping me. In a fruitless attempt to get away from him, my back hits the wall. Aiden grabs both my wrists in a death grip against the cold wallpaper. He maneuvers my legs so they're lying on his hard thighs. With this position, it's impossible to fight him off. Every time I try to squirm free, he digs his fingers into my wrists until I wince in pain. Damn him and his brute strength. I curse my stupidity for locking myself between him and the wall. Why the hell do I always find myself trapped with him? He plants a large palm on my thigh in the small space between my skirt and my stockings. A wave of that strange awareness shoots down my spine. My skin heats and prickles with the tension crackling in the air. My body's reaction to him isn't funny anymore. How the hell does he push those buttons? Aiden, I hiss through my teeth.
Sweetheart.
His intense eyes never leave my face as his fingers flex on my thigh, teasing and threatening to go up. We're in public.
And I'm supposed to care about that.
Of course he wouldn't care. Blood rushes in my veins at the possibility of being caught while Aiden is touching me. The older man is facing the window, and he's far enough that he can't hear us. But if he deviates his head or decides to leave, he'll see everything.
Say yes to my offer and I wouldn't have to search for your bodies, yes.
I can't just be yours.
Why not?
I hate you. That's why.
Hmm.
Despite the humming, his tone is flat as he grips my thigh tighter. Aiden. I grind my teeth, my vision bouncing between him and the old man.
Let's play that choice game you love so much.
I don't love your games. He tilts his head to the side, watching me intently as his fingers draw circles on my inner thigh.
I think you do love them, but you just don't love admitting it.
I shake my head frantically.
Be mine, or I'll finger you so hard, so fast, that man will be calling for help when you come all over my fingers.
My thighs clench, lips parting open. My face must be as red as the blood rushing to it, but Aiden's expression remains unaffected. How can he stay like that after the crude words he said? How can he start a riot in my body with mere words?
Is that a yes, Frozen?
No. The word falls from my lips in a murmur.
Hmm.
His fingers slide up my thigh.
I didn't realize you were an exhibitionist, sweetheart. Does it turn you on to know we can be caught any minute? That man can turn around now.
He strokes my inner thigh, his thumb hovering over the edge of my underwear.
Or now.
I kick my feet, trying to push him, but he only tightens his grip on me. I close my eyes against the intrusive sensation. Every fiber of my logic is willing me to hate this, to consider it a violation, but is it a violation if I want him to reach up? Is it a violation if his dirty words are causing an uncontrollable throb between my legs? He leans in so his hot breaths brush against my throat. Goosebumps break over my skin as he murmurs in a low, husky voice.
Say yes.
Aiden. I trail off, not knowing what I want to tell him. Is it to stop? To keep going?
That's not the word. I need you to say yes.
Why? I don't even recognize my breathy voice.
Say the word, Elsa.
He's still speaking against my throat, and I tilt to the side, as if giving him better access. To do what? I don't know.
You know, I could have threatened your family's company. I know King Enterprises is their biggest contractor, and they'd struggle and eventually go bankrupt with the amount of debt they currently owe to the bank. I have information that'll keep Kimberly gravitating towards me and away from you. The only reason I didn't destroy your life yet is because I've been saving it to the right moment. If I choose to, I'll threaten everything you love and you'll have no choice but to fall at my feet.
With every word he says, my eyes blur with tears. I want to believe he wouldn't be able to do what he said, that they're all empty threats. But this is Aiden. He never promised something he didn't follow up with. This is his way to show me how weak I am in comparison to his strength. But I don't crumble and swallow my tears. He won't be seeing my weakness. Then why aren't you doing all that? I ask.
I'm offering you the chance to make the first move.
Why is that so important to you?
I'm testing a theory.
His fingers splay on the hem of my boy shorts, eliciting a zap of pleasure from the bottom of my stomach. What theory? My voice is choked.
But you like being forced to make any move. The rush turns you on, doesn't it?
God, he's insane. No. It's my weakest no of yet. The double assault of his breaths against my throat and his fingers at the edge of my most sensitive part awakens a deep-seated throb. My thighs clench around his hand, as if inviting him to the place that aches the most.
No one in Res will come near you if you're mine. You'll spend a dream senior year.
Damn him and his smooth ways. Just like with Aunt and Uncle, he's telling me what I want to hear. I don't want the dream here. I hardly manage the words.
Then what do you want, sweetheart?
In some place in my mind, I know this is wrong. He is 1,000,000 times wrong. Wrong or right, my body doesn't understand that. It's enchanted to Aiden whether I like it or not. He's turning my body against me. Dickhead. Sweat breaks on my forehead, and my skin pulses as if begging to be touched by him. You won't get anything out of me.
You should play smarter, not stronger.
Aiden's lips brush against my throat, sending a violent chill down my back.
Admit your deepest, darkest desires, Elsa.
I don't know if it's because of his lips, or the low, throaty, almost husky tone he said my name with, but I'm a goner. A full-body shudder goes through me like I'm being pulled under a soundless, crashing wave. I can't even fight the pull anymore. Aiden's fingers trace the rim of my boy shorts, slowly slipping underneath. I whimper, then hide my head in his shoulder to suppress the sound. I almost forgot that we aren't alone. The man's presence is supposed to turn me off, but it has the complete opposite effect. I'm burning, and Aiden is my hell. He cups me through my underwear. I sink my teeth in my lower lip to suppress the needy sounds clawing its way out.
You're fucking soaked.
Aiden growls against the side of my neck. I arch my back as his thumb swipes up and down my folds through the cloth.
What's turning you on, sweetheart?
His lips find my ear, and a small voice that resembles a moan leaves my throat.
Is it the public setting? The risk of getting caught? Or is it the fact that you're completely under my mercy?
All of that. But that's not all, is it? The main reason is him. I don't think I would have had all these overpowering, crushing sensations if it was someone else. His finger slips beneath my underwear and thrusts inside me. I bite his hot shoulder over the shirt. Oh, God! Is it supposed to feel so intimate and deep? He thrusts another finger and I arch against him, my entire weight held by his. Aiden. It's supposed to be a warning, a protest, but it comes out as a moan.
Admit it, Frozen.
I shake my head, feeling a lump grow bigger and suffocating at the back of my throat. He reaches his free hand up my stomach, stops to flick a hard, throbbing nipple over my shirt before he wraps his fingers around my throat. He scissors his fingers inside me as he tightens his thumb at my next pulse point.
Would you rather admit it when you're screaming my name?
He whispers in dark, hot words. I bite my lower lip, staring at him with frantic, lust-filled eyes.
Fight it all you like, but if I want you to scream, you'll fucking scream, Elsa.
His thumb rubs up and down my clitoris in slow, circular movements as he thrusts his fingers inside me. The triple assault against my clit, my walls and my neck, and his hot breath brings me to the edge. A wave builds inside me, doubling and magnifying until a chill of terror engulfs me. What the hell is happening to me? Aiden parts his fingers at my throat so his lips can find the pulse point. He sucks hard. Everything spirals out of control. I moan against his shoulder as that wave nearly hits the shore. I grind against his hand. Just one more friction. Just one touch. The feeling is so, so close. And I never needed something as much as I need this foreign wave to hit me. Aiden stops. He slips his fingers from my stimulated nerves, withdraws his hand from under my skirt, and releases my throat. Emptiness engulfs me as he slides back against the cushion, giving me back the personal space he violated a few seconds ago. I blink a few times, Humiliation and frustration eat at my insides like burning acid. Humiliation because I almost gave the asshole my first sexual experience with another person in a damn coffee shop. Frustration because he stopped, as if he didn't touch me in the first place. I don't know who I should hate more, myself or him. I expect him to mock me, and this time I'd freaking deserve it. For a moment, I moaned. For a moment, I ground against him. For a moment, I wanted the depravity the asshole offered. Someone kill me. Aiden keeps the unnerving eye contact as if he's dissecting my soul, ripping it and dancing in its remains. Then he does something that shocks the freaking bejesus out of me. He brings his glistening index and middle fingers to his face, the same fingers that almost brought me to the edge, and sucks them into his mouth. He flicks his tongue along the fingers and does a slow show of licking them clean. Why is that so hot? Even if I want to look away, I can't. My thighs tighten around my throbbing core, and I feel like I'll explode right here, right now. After one last lick, he removes his fingers and flicks his tongue around his bottom lip. I find myself transfixed by that bottom lip. That tongue. I'm angling towards him against my better judgment.
Do you realize how long I fantasized about your taste, sweetheart?
He grunts deep in his throat. Unable to utter a word, I shake my head.
I fantasized about locking you in a dark classroom, pushing you on a table, pulling your legs over my shoulders, and sucking you until you screamed. I fantasized about kidnapping you from the track practice, pinning you against the tree in the back, and fucking you until you passed out.
Aiden, stop. His dirty talk provokes a part of me I never thought existed. His crude words will be the end of me. It'll be my damnation, my descent into hell. Not if I can stop it. I place a trembling hand on his chest, and I startle at the maddening heartbeat beneath the hot, hard muscles. He appears so composed and in control that I never thought his pulse would be this erratic. It's almost as out of control as my own heartbeat.
I can't stop my fantasies, sweetheart.
He wraps his hand around mine that's on his heart. His black, black heart.
But I won't tell you the rest of them. Do you know why?
I shake my head once. He yanks my hand away from his chest as if I burn him.
Because you're not ready for those. I'll tell you this, though.
He leans in to whisper in hot words.
You taste better than any fucking fantasy.
Chapter 15. A few days pass. No matter how much I want things to go back to normal, they don't. Since that day in the coffee shop, Aiden hasn't stopped texting me every night and morning. The first strings of texts came that same night while I was watching Nat Geo with Uncle Jackson. Aiden.
What did you have for dinner?
Aiden.
We had pasta, but you were all I tasted on my tongue. I can't stop thinking about my fingers inside your soaked walls as you whimpered. Pity I didn't get to taste you properly and thrust my tongue inside that tight little pussy.
Aiden.
Next time, sweetheart.
I barely mumbled my goodnights to Uncle as I fled to my room. He's been sending those types of crude texts every night, and sometimes in the mornings. I called him a psycho a few times. Insane at other times. But that only made him religious about his texts. Dickhead. Kim and I sit in the back garden for lunch. We're both eating salad and watching the tall pine trees in the distance as she talks about her latest Korean soap opera with great details. Did you notice anything weird? I ask when she finishes her retellings. Like what? She chews on a mouthful of cucumber. Like, No one calls you names anymore. Even Adam, the biggest bully of all bullies, passed by you this morning without a word. She grins, her mint-colored hair flying in the wind. My new look is shocking the hell out of them. As much as I love her new confidence, I don't think that's the case. Her new look didn't stop Silver and her minions from bullying her at the start of school. Don't you find it weird that all of this changed since Aiden comforted you in front of the entire school? If their king showed interest in her, they'd be signing off on their death certificates if they'd bothered her. That's Aiden. Those on his good side live in heaven, but the rest rot in hell.
Well, yeah.
Her expression changes into something unreadable before she waggles her brows. Maybe you should get comforted by him, too, so Rez will get off your case, too.
Kim!
I hit her shoulder.
What? Use them while you can, Ellie.
Is that what you've been doing with Aiden? Using him? She lifts her shoulder. Kim isn't the type of person who uses people.
God. It's as if I don't know my best friend anymore.
You do realize that Aiden King isn't the type to be used, right? I stab a fork at the bottom of my container. He'll read through your manipulations in no time.
Maybe we're using each other.
She drops the container at her side and crunches a red apple. Maybe we're using each other? What the hell is that supposed to mean?
King played such an excellent game on Saturday. You should have seen the goal he scored,
Kim gushes.
30 meters away. Can you believe that?
I pause playing with my food. You went to Elite's game?
Yeah.
I told you I was going out on Saturday. I thought it was to have dinner with your family. My lips twist. I also thought you quit going to their games.
I felt like going, she shrugs. And I'm so glad I did. King was a freaking star. So bright and dazzling. I can't believe he doesn't play in the Premier League like his cousin already.
Kim. My throat dries as I stare at her with what must look like a horrified expression. Do you hear yourself? You're idolizing Aiden fucking King right now.
What? He plays like a god. You can't deny that.
Yes, I can. That's why I refuse to focus on him while he plays.
Xander played like shit, though.
Kim's pink-painted lips twist. Fucking psycho almost got a red card for tackling an opponent so hard, he almost knocked his teeth out. But Kyrian still wouldn't shut up about him. Can you believe that little shit? Kim's little brother idolizes Xander, and that always ticked her off. He's just a kid.
He's my baby brother. Not his. Fucking asshole.
Then she launches into a full report on the game. It's a usual thing. But this time, I notice the impressed tone whenever she talks about Aiden. Or maybe the impressed tone has always been there, and I was too deaf to hear it. I'm going to be sick to my stomach. Just where I'm about to stop her, a shadow looms over us. My head snaps up to find Ronan grinning down at us like an idiot. What do you want? I snap.
Relax, Frozen.
He slides beside a stunned Kim, smiling with unmistakable charm.
I come here in peace.
Peace? He's got to be freaking kidding me. I search behind him and around the trees, expecting the devil to come out and play. Nothing can convince me that this isn't another one of Aiden's depraved games. I fold my arms over my chest. Since when do you talk to us, Ronan?
Since Kim is a fan.
He grins at her, placing a stray strand behind her ear.
How come you never showed it before, chérie? You don't have to be a closet fan.
I'm not. She smiles, appearing to relax.
I love Elite's team play. Cole is the perfect captain, Aiden is the ace striker, and you're one of the best midfielders in the school's championships.
Correction, I'm not one of the best, I'm the best, Kimmy.
The freaking best.
They go on a long string of football conversation about the few games elites played this season and last year's championship. Ronan, Asta, and Kim are bonding. Gag. Someone kill me. I slam the lid of my container shut with a force that gets their attention. Are you done?
But alors, Frozen. Anyone ever told you to chill?
I'll be perfectly chill when you're as far away from us as possible. Kim frowns. That's rude, Ellie. Rude. Doesn't she realize he's playing a game? A game Aiden must have put him up to.
No wonder he's possessed.
Ronan mutters, before he smiles at Kim, completely erasing me.
How about you stop being a closet fan and come over to one of my parties?
Kim's eyes almost bug out. Who? Me?
I'll win the drinking competition for your sake, Kimmy.
You will? She almost shouts.
I do anything for our fans.
He winks, brushes his knuckles over her hand before he stands and glances at me.
You can come too, if you lose the Frozen act.
He throws a dismissive hand and leaves. I continue aiming daggers at his back, even as he disappears between the trees. Did you hear that? He invited us to one of his parties. So what? It's Ronan Astor's party, Ellie. I've always dreamt about attending one. I can't believe he invited us. Kim, I grip his shoulders. We agreed to never mingle with them, remember? We belong to different worlds and have different standards. It's just a party, Ellie. It's senior year. We can at least go to a party. The spark in her eyes doesn't disappear. If anything, she looks about to explode from excitement. That's when I see it. The eagerness. The childlike thrill. Kim wants this. She always had this dreamy look in her eyes whenever she talked about the football game or when we overheard other students talk about Ronan's parties. Unlike me, she wants to see that other crowd. Aiden and his pack of wolves crowd. Maybe she's been holding back because of the bullying. Maybe it's because of me. Either way, the new Kim isn't afraid to go after what she likes. If anything, she runs straight to it. Nothing I do or say will change her mind about the party. I have to take care of the source of the problem. A certain asshole who's been manipulating her throughout her new change. We go back to school for our next class. Kim wouldn't stop talking about the party even when I try to change the subject. I preferred the Korean soap opera's retellings. Near the class, Aiden crosses our path, coming in from the opposite direction. He stops near the door and Kim stops too.
Morning, Reed.
Aiden offers her a smile that somehow reaches his smoky eyes. My chest squeezes in an uncomfortable, almost painful way. Morning, King. Kim smiles back.
You were amazing in the last game. We need more fans like you.
Go elites! Kim grins. We're so getting the championship this year.
Hell yeah, Kimmy!
Ronan cheers from behind us, draping an arm around Kim's shoulder and leading her inside. I hurry after them when a large-as-life presence pushes me back against the wall. The student's chatter disappears and my back snaps upright as I stare up at Aiden's soulless eyes. All the smiles he offered Kim disappear, leaving the actual demon Aiden is. Looking up at him, I can't help recalling his skin against mine. His finger sliding inside me. His lips biting my neck. Nope, he's not getting under my skin.
Are you going to be mine?
He asks so low that the tenor of his voice vibrates on my skin. Every day since that damned breakfast, he corners me somewhere and asks the same question. I jut my chin out and give him the same answer I tell him every day. No. His fingers dig at the back of my scalp beneath my hair as he grips my nape and pins me in place. There's no escaping him even if I tried. He's freaking everywhere, like the asphyxiating smoke in his eyes. If I want to protect my sanity, I need to play my cards smartly. If this were a football game, this is that time when the team is losing and the coach has to make decisive choices. He can lunge for offense and leave a void at the back that will cost him dearly in case of a counterattack, or he can hold his formation, draw in the adversary, and then attack when the other party least expects it. I always preferred the second option. Since I met Aiden, I had been the team that accepted defeat before the game even started. It's like in the World Cup when all English people have no hopes for the national team to go anywhere before it even started. The forfeiting strategy was fine when Aiden just claimed his victory and moved along. Now that he's pushing me, it's time for a change of tactics. Since the beginning of this school year, I use the all-in attack, which obviously doesn't work on Aiden. Not only is he a stronger, bigger, and a meaner opponent, but he also gets off on my useless struggle. It's time I go for the second option. Lure, wait, attack. Gah. I'm beginning to think like him. But then again, one needs to be a monster to stop a monster. He leans closer, so his breath tickles along my lower lip. My breath catches. He's always so close enough to kiss me, but he never does.
Careful, sweetheart.
He pulls at a fistful of my hair.
You're pushing me.
You pushed me first, I grit out. At least now you know how it feels to be pushed.
That's nothing.
His lips hover over my ear before he dots his tongue and licks the shell.
I promise you won't like it when I push back.
I bite back the chill at his words in proximity and meet his gaze. Aren't you doing it already? What the hell is your game with Kim? He tilts his head to the side, his lips curving in a smirk.
Be mine and there won't be a game.
God damn it, Aiden. You can't play unfair like this.
Who said anything about fair?
His hand climbs to my throat and his thumb fingers the pulse point. He's obsessed with that.
I told you I'll threaten everything you love. Reed is only the beginning. It's time you make a move, sweetheart.
He pulls my cheek.
But don't take too long. Patience has never been my strength.
He releases me, leaving me breathless and boneless against the wall as he saunters into the classroom. I hear him call Kim's name. And I know. I just know that Aiden's strike will hit so deep. He caught me by the arm that hurts the most. When I peek into the class and find Kim laughing with him and Ronan, my heart squeezes and my chest aches. A finger taps my shoulder. I startle, facing the intruder. Xander's gleamy blue eyes stare down at me.
I have an offer to make.
Chapter 16. For a week, I managed to avoid Aiden and Xander. It might have to do with the weekend. I studied as much as I could, but whenever I was left to my thoughts, it was chaos. I keep watching the steps of my house, expecting Aiden to show up unannounced like he did the other time. He doesn't corner me like he used to, but he's spending more time with Kim. His morning read has morphed into conversations, and I don't know how to scream that he's manipulating her without sounding crazy. He knows all the buttons to push and all the things to say to sound proper, and lovable, even. Kim believes him just like Aunt and Uncle did. No one knows him the way I do. No one saw the void behind his eyes or has heard his low threats. If I scream bloody murder, I'll just appear insane. I wish Aiden and I could go back to the stage where glares had been our only language. When I battled with how long I could keep eye contact before forfeiting. Who am I kidding? We can never go back to that stage, after what Aiden has done to me. After he touched me, invaded me, tasted me. I've been having fragmented dreams about his hands, his face, and his scent. God, his scent would never leave my memories. And his lips. I dream about them doing depraved things to me. If my subconscious thinks about it, what does that make me? As if Aiden's drama isn't enough, Xander has been hunting me after every class about his offer. I shot him down every time, refusing to even hear it. Xander is Aiden's best friend. If they think I'm naive enough to fall for their games, then they have another thing coming. I blow a long breath as I trudge through the school's hallway during lunch break. I don't usually hide from the bullying in the main entrance, but today is just a wrong day. It started with a nightmare about blood,